Welcome to
Men's Book Club.
Men's Book Club. Men's Book Club. Men's Book Club.
I'm trying to think. Wait, you sound like
Elmo.
Okay, I thought it was like Pokemon.
I was going
like
for
Pikachu.
Elmo.
Pikachu.
Hi guys, how are you? Today we're doing
Nothing related to anything kid friendly. It's the opposite.
Nothing. We definitely do not listen to this if you're a kid. Ever. None of our episodes.
None of them.
They're just too much vulgarity.
Just throw them out.
An old reliable, this an author. He seems to pop up every once in a while.
He is a king.
Stephen King. And we're going to do a novel that I actually never heard about in the past. It's not one of his popular ones. The Running Man.
No, it's popular.
It's a very interesting concept. It's not horror. It's more like a thriller kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like... What's amazing about this book is he's almost got it down to what it is now.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's to an extreme, but right. Close. It's close.
So let's run through the synopsis, shall we? This is a book about a man named Richard. By the way, Stephen King wrote this book as Richard Bachman.
So maybe he's...
So he was so. He was hiding his, you know, his personality, his He, I don't know. I don't know why he did it, but he was using a pen name.
I know he did it for like several books.
Yeah. I do know that.
Don't know why. Maybe because they weren't like the complete horror ones. And
maybe. He didn't know how they were going to be received, maybe.
But then he says it's weird. So
the story's about Richard. It's basically set in almost like a dystopian future, and that future just happens to be 2025. The book is written in the 1980s, and it's written as if it's in 2025. And basically what it is this large corporation, a gaming company, the Game Network, is basically in charge of the entire planet. And what they do is they put on these game shows.
Which is pretty funny because media pretty much does.
Yeah, yeah. So. They put on these game shows where they basically... put contestants, usually from poor neighborhoods, through these crazy tests and games and reward them financially when they succeed. And everybody that's participating is basically living in squalor and shit. So they have no option but to participate.
Yeah,
no matter
how they have like old money or
new money. Some of the games that they would do would be like, there's a treadmill game where for every minute that you're on the treadmill, you get a certain amount of money. But the only people that they let participate in those are people who have heart problems. So basically everybody on TV is watching, waiting for this guy to have a heart attack, and several do. But the money will end up going to his family. Yes. So this is how people are making a living.
Yeah, it's almost like the poor people in Rome, you know... That's what it seems like that this is.
Fascinating take. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's like you have to battle it out with a lion to win.
Because yeah. Everybody likes it, you know, cuz you go back, people are so violence. It's like, well, they used to do it in there all the time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
People exactly. Always loved it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We love it. MMA and UFC is the most famous thing in the world right now. So. But anyway, this book is about Richard, that he's a protagonist. His daughter has an illness, and he doesn't have any money, and his wife is basically reduced to prostituting to be able to make money. He was laid off his job. Most people were laid off their jobs because there really isn't that many jobs. And he gets an opportunity to go on this show called The Running Man. And The Running Man is basically...
The worst one.
A game of tag with guns, and he doesn't have one, so they give him
they give him like
a 12-hour head start,
and they pitch it as like, this is the worst. You're not living
yes,
like the other ones maybe you could.
The record for the last person to stay alive was about 6 days. The contest is for 30 days, and for every hour that he stays alive, his family gets $100. So very lucrative, but it always ends in death. Nobody has ever made it past any reasonable, I mean, 6 days again. And he gets a 12-hour head start. He can go anywhere in the world.
I think they get like bounty hunters to like track you.
Yes. They basically everybody's looking for you, and they also give rewards.
Yeah, you're basically, it's very odd. You're a fugitive.
Yes, yes.
Which is really weird because you didn't commit a crime. Yes, but
and if you think that what's happening is not enough, they also give rewards to citizens for spotting you and rewarding you and catching you. And if your call to the network ends up in the murder of the subject, in this case Richard, you end up getting like $1,000.
But it's weird too, because if he kills cops or people, mm-hmm. he gets extra money.
Yeah, yeah.
Which he is also, like, right. So they're just like, we don't care what the casualties are.
Right. They're just in it for show business. They keep saying that. They just don't give a shit. So he gets the 12-hour head start. By the way, if he makes it to the end of the 30 days, his family gets $1 billion. Him and his family gets $1 billion. Yeah. The only caveat to all of this is he can't just disappear. He has to send updates once or twice a day in the mail. And basically, that's an easy way for them to find where he is.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, you're in St. Louis. You mail from St. Louis. Right, exactly. You're like, oh, wait.
Right.
And they claim that they don't. But
they claim that he don't. But so they give him a camera, and they basically, he has to put like cassette tapes in it, and then he mails the tapes out every time he has to record them. So he kind of, I mean, the majority of this is...
I was always nervous about that part. I'm like, I hope he gets the tape in.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, bro, don't forget about the tape.
Dude. Yeah, yeah. That was like in my mind because most of the book.
You get disqualified if you don't mail it.
That was my mind most of the book. I'm like, even in TV shows when that, I'm like, you forgot to do that.
yeah, so he leaves, I forget where they initially are, and maybe New York. And he goes to Boston. He goes to the New England area. And basically, the final stand is happening in, like, New Hampshire, where he finds a woman from a well-to-do society. He basically takes her as hostage, pretends that he has a detonator attached to him, and requests from the game network, who now are all watching him, that if they don't give him a plane with a pilot, he's going to kill this woman. And the only reason that they don't want this woman dead is because they don't want to show people on TV that they let people from well-to-do classes in society die. So they're kind of protecting her, or so they say. So he basically gets the plane. They allow him to take the plane. And his plan is that he's going to get on that plane, jump with a parachute, and disappear. And that's sort of the plan that he has. He brings with him on the plane one of the network executives just in case they shoot the plane, so he dies, but that's sort of his plan. A bunch of stuff happens on the airplane, but at the end of the day, we find out that the guy that is very much at the very, very, very top of the game network knew all along that he didn't have a detonator and he was bluffing because there were sensors on the plane that would have picked it up. And they offer him a job. They say, you did such a good job. You have such good ratings. We want you to be on... whatever.
We want you to kill people now.
Yeah, we want you to basically kill people. Right. And by the way, don't think about saying no to this because of your family, because your family's been dead for a few days.
Yeah, that was like the most fucked up part. Yeah. That was the most fucked up part.
Yeah, he's thinking like, oh man, every hour I'm alive, I'm getting money to my kid, but they're dead.
That was pretty fucked up. Pretty big gut punch.
Yeah. So he says yes, and basically... says yes to them, and they say, all right, then we're going to take this plane and you're going to head back to where the game network building is. He has other plans where he basically ends up hijacking the plane and drives it straight into the game network channel.
Which I think you couldn't even do now because of 9/11, which was like, that was what I was thinking. It's like, oh, I saw the guy's face as I was... barreling into the building. Yeah.
But it is kind of freaking crazy that he wrote this in the 1980s and like before 9/11, and that was like an idea that he came up with. Like, I'll crash into the tower.
Well, I did hear that he was friends with Osama bin Laden.
All right, I knew there was going to be some shit about the joke here. No, he wasn't. No, don't sue us, Stephen King. Don't sue us. He listens to this, man. Oh, yeah. Come on.
I forgot.
Him and Atwood have parties. that's basically that. It really reads. I mean, there are things along the path. He runs into a few people who end up helping him out, getting him from one town to another. A few people who end up giving him food, a place to stay, you know, kind of extending the length of his stay.
His big downfall was like... he went to a house. A safe house, but the woman or the guy.
The mom,
like, ratted him out.
Yeah.
So that kind of set in motion. Mm-hmm. He had to, like, then he had to rob that girl. And
yeah. So it reads very much like a Bourne Identity movie. Yeah,
and it's
like
fast because the chapters.
It's an action movie. That's all it is. It's, you know, there's no, like, depth to it. There are certain parts of the story that are so... They skip over so much. It's crazy. Like, and some of it is very unrealistic. Like, he got shot probably 15 times and didn't die. And they keep saying, like, his guts are hanging out of his stomach and he's not dead. It's an action film.
But I did think the cool part was he blew up, like, a building that they were going into. So yeah. He knocked out those. But that's
another part of it. Like, he sneaks into the pipes.
Well...
Which is wild to me. Like,
done that quite a few times.
It's, every time I'm in a hotel, yeah, I go down to the pipe. I go down to the basement.
Yeah.
And
you can't read too much into this. It's not like a very well structured story. It's an action film. It's all it is. It's an action.
No,
film.
The only thing I'm very impressed with is that some people like Stephen King or Orwell, they get these things, you know, Animal Farm too.
Yeah.
They kind of are accurate. Like, you know, maybe we're not run by a game network. We are pretty much run by the media. The struggling, nobody would care if they were fighting.
Yeah. It's like prophetic the way that they look at the future. It's,
I mean,
like,
even look at now, American Idol. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not death, but... They portray, oh, he's a poor person, and he needs this for his family.
Right.
Then they kind of get, make it done. You're done.
That's a good way of looking at this. Yeah, you're right.
Basically, they just, the networks or American Idol or any of these people, they use these people that, you know, oh, I want to be famous. I want that for, like, what's the word? Like, they're just using
them. Yeah. They're clicks now.
Yeah.
You're right. 1,000%.
And then they throw them out when they're done.
That's right. They probably throw them out right after they're done filming.
If they can make money off of it, hey.
Yeah. This story was it kind of went by very fast. Like you said, it's very small chapters. I like the fact that, like, there wasn't a lot of conversation about, like, his past and how all of it happened. Again, it's like...
Yeah, you didn't need it.
It wasn't a deep book, so it didn't need it. I don't know.
To me, it just reminded me of, like... Because I saw some movies of, like, Run Down Detroit. That's what I just...
Okay.
Or, you know, you had the city and the shitty.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was, like, a river. And
yeah,
you
had, yeah.
Like, cross it.
Yeah. What else? Oh, I This woman that he takes hostage, Amelia, that's her name, who is simultaneously saves his life and hates him, but also he likes her and she likes him, but also she ends up falling out of the plane randomly. That was kind of weird to me.
That was a very weird thing.
A very bizarre. She saves his life because she... Okay. He uses her wallet as pretend button to blow himself up. She knows he's using her wallet. And then he sends her over to the game network as a way to show, like, hey, if I'm lying, she'll tell you. So he trusted her. She goes over there and she saves his life by saying, oh no, he does have a detonator. She gets on the plane with him, which could only end badly for her. She tries to help him with his wounds. She drives him the whole way. She does everything that she... Like, she just found this guy and all of a sudden feels bad for him. Almost like halfway in love with him. Gets on the plane with him. He's starting to, like, have feelings for her a little bit. Nothing too deep. And the plane door opens and she... flies out, and that's her end, and we don't know anything after that.
She had a very unfortunate life. She ran into the wrong person.
She had a parachute on, but, like, she didn't know how to drive fast or, like, do anything, so we're gonna believe that she knows how to, like, live after, or even pull the parachute, let alone live after the parachute.
No, she was done.
She's dead. She's dead. But, like, it's so funny, the plane door opens, and you just hear... And it's like one line. It's like, oh, and Amelia flew out of the plane. And you're like, wait, what?
Probably like, how do I don't want her into the building. She'll probably persuade him not to.
Yeah, it's like he didn't know what to do with her, so he just sent her out. Alaskan airline.
Did she go out before they said the family
was
dead?
I believe so.
And I wonder if that was done, because then you would think that it's like, oh, it would be a love interest.
Yeah, so maybe.
They get her out of the way, so there is no pause.
Okay, but he has to have her get shot by a stray bullet. But like for her to just fly out of a window of an airplane, it's just... such a, like, she came out of nowhere and left.
I love how ruthless the game network is. Like, the mean bounty hunter is, like, done.
Yeah. That's like, another thing. Like, easily. Yeah, they shoot him, and he's like.
But I love it. It's like, well, you're out now.
Yeah.
Like, you're not. But the guy didn't even accept the offer.
Yeah. You can't read too much into the story. It's just, you know, like, those books that you would read on the beach, like. People we meet on vacation or whatever.
It's like
that. This is the male version of
it. Yeah, for that, that's why I would give it like a 3 or 2 or 3 because it's like...
Yeah, it's silly.
Yeah, it's like not like... It's hard to... You're not going to put this up against like...
You know, a Fitzgerald booker. Yeah, Kill a Mockingbird. Yeah, right.
So it's probably like a 2, you know.
It's 2. A 2. Yeah, it's definitely a 2.
Just because...
It's, look, if you want a beach book, if you're trying to read something quick in a day or two.
If you want to scare people you are on a plane, read that book.
It's 330 pages, but the chapters are like 2 pages long.
And I do like it because it's like, it gives you, I like chapters when it's like, and counting down.
So. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
it's cool. Honestly, I think like, I'm going to say like, 50 pages of this book are just empty pages between chapters.
Yeah.
Which is so weird.
Yeah.
But it's a very quick
read. I never knew why. I ever read like a big book and there's like that one blank page. You're like, I got past 2 pages right now.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
yeah, it's an entertaining book. It's just nothing. It's nothing to write home about. It's kind of fun.
It's not one of his.
It's not as good stuff.
I liked other ones better than him, but I don't think it was bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
But I don't think it was like that good either.
I think 2 is a fair assessment.
Yeah, I think like 2 is where it lands.
Okay. Thank you guys for listening. This was Stephen King's The Running Man, and we'll talk to you guys later.
We'll see you.